Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in today. Regardless of what time today is for you, I know some of you, you're early birds. Brian, you're an early bird.
I am, yes, sir. I go to bed really early and I get up really early.
I just don't get you people. I do not get, it's not that I never get up early. It's just that I never want to get up early. Mm-hmm. So if you're the kind of person that wants to hit the snooze button and sleep in, I am your friend. but man, I'll stay up till all hours. Yeah, I don't know what
that is. Angie and I are opposites there, and she could stay up late and get a lot of work done. And sometimes she amazes me with that. Me at 10 o'clock, I kind of shut down, and then I don't even use an alarm.
Yeah, you basically shut down whenever I have an important question to ask you. No, you've been a blessing to me, and you've been a blessing to our listeners. We're in the book of James. My friends, James chapter 3, actually, and we know that originally there were no chapter and verse divisions. I'm glad they're there. They're great reference points, but don't allow them to cause you to stop unnecessarily as you read your Bible. Especially these smaller books, Brian, I like to, if I'm reading a smaller book in the Bible, I like to read it in one sitting just to kind of get the macro of it. And James has 108 verses. I mean, you can sit down and read it in 15 minutes, okay. And you ought to do that, listeners. Even if you're not currently reading somewhere in your Bible now, we're working our way through the book of James, it wouldn't be a bad idea for some of you, if you have the time, just to read the book of James every day while we're doing this podcast.
Absolutely.
It's going to give you a rich...
I don't think they'd ever forget it. I think when you concentrate that much on a book, plus listen to somebody discussing through it, I think the listeners would forever be imprinted on their heart the book of James. They would never forget what they learned.
So what we've learned thus far, I don't know if it was one of our episodes, Brian, or previous, that we mentioned that the dividing points in James are really easy to locate because he comes back to my brethren, right. My brethren. And we see that again here in chapter 3 where it says, my brethren. So it's almost as if, okay, here's the next point. So my brethren, be not many masters. Now, I'm reading, obviously, the King James Version, and so sometimes we don't use the words in the same ways that we used it perhaps 400 years ago. So let's define our terms.
Sure.
So my brethren, be not many masters. That's not referring to, you know, slavery or mastership. It just means teachers.
Jesus was called master when they came to him and said that. That's what they were referring to.
That's right, teacher.
So, and when you get a master's degree, you are able to teach on a college level. It's some way to keep it in mind. That's a college
You're the man.
Level.
That's a great illustration. Every now and then, I'm telling you. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive. So James said, okay, I'm going to talk now to people who have been vested with the responsibility of teaching, and I'm including myself. Mm-hmm. And that's a healthy thing, isn't it? When a pastor is preaching or a teacher is teaching, and he includes himself in the application. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching with you, right?
Yeah. We is so much stronger, more empathetic than you in preaching. Sometimes you need to say you, and there are moments for that, but boy, I think people like it when you are with them.
Inclusive. So be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Again, a strong word. So when you hear that, master means teacher. Help me with the word condemnation.
Yeah, here. Well, it's the strongest word for judgment. And judgment is not always what we think of judgment being like condemned to hell. I think what he's stressing here is that when you have the responsibility of teaching, particularly God's word and influencing other people, you're going to be under greater scrutiny for what you have said. You're going to be judged more. And the Bible says that. I mean, it says even the idle words we speak, we're going to give account of in the day of judgment. So if I am responsible to lead a church, a youth conference, a camp, man, I should... be very careful with what I say because it'll be critiqued and judged.
Yeah, the writer of Proverbs said, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Mm-hmm. So those of us who make our living using words need to be extra careful because words are powerful. Mm-hmm. And words shape thinking, and thinking shapes living, right. And living shapes one's destiny. So the Apostle Paul had some pretty pointed things to say about people that would use words incorrectly, referring to the gospel, for instance. So there's a greater level of condemnation. Maybe we would say today a higher level of accountability.
Sure,
so unto whomsoever much is given shall be much required. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And then he expands upon that by explaining why. Yeah. For in many things, we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So let's unpack that verse because that we're setting the stage for this diatribe on how potent and powerful our words actually can be. But let's understand this verse.
Yeah, so essentially, in many different ways, we have the potential of sinning or even offending other people. Usually that word offend has something to do with me and somebody else. And that's possible in all kinds of different ways.
Offend here doesn't mean, my friends, that we're going to make people mad.
Yeah,
because
right.
You know, our words, sometimes people can misread words. It literally means to set somebody back. Mm-hmm. And our words have the power to change the course of people's lives. And so that's why it's just that much more important.
Right. And so then if you do not set people back with your words, that is an indication that you are a perfect man. I think most people listen and probably are aware that the word perfect just means mature in the New Testament. So your ability to control your words, your ability to not set people back with your words is an indication that you are spiritually mature. Somebody said that your tongue is a dipstick to your heart. So
wow.
If your tongue is right, it's an indication that your heart is right.
So would it be fair to say that the tongue is the hardest thing to control?
Yeah, he says that later in the text. He says it so strongly that the tongue can no man tame. So it's an out of control.
And isn't it interesting, you know, Brian, in churches, we sometimes kind of get on pet sins and talk about, you know, maybe of some of our pet applications. But when you really just stop and study the Bible lists of sins, it constantly comes back to the words we say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Romans 3. The icing on Paul's cake of the sinful nature of man, like climaxes.
Their throat is an open sepulcher.
Yeah. Poison of asps is in their tongue.
It's under their lips. Yeah, in there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's super strong. And you tie those two things together, that it's an indication of your heart, and it is got this devastating nature to it. It tells you that that's just one of the quickest ways you can find out how spiritual somebody is.
Yeah.
Are they full of slander? Do they speak evil? Do they lie? Do they curse? I mean, it's very, very, very
out strong. Of the abundance of the heart,
yeah,
the
go.
Greatest indication of your heart. In matter of fact, we're going to see it in this chapter. The best indication of your heart is the words you use.
Yeah, and then at the end of that verse too, if you can control this matter of the tongue, you are able to control all other possibilities of sinning with your body. I mean, it's way at the end, you're able to bridle the whole body.
So in the put off, put on passages in Ephesians 4 or Colossians 3, you see the tongue being the primary thing. Mm-hmm. So speak every man truth to his neighbor. Put off lying. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, filthy, potty mouth, you know, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may measure grace to the hearer. So in verse 3 of James chapter 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm whithersoever the governor listeth, even to the tongue. It's a little member. It boasteth great things. How, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue's a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature. It's set on fire of hell. Mm-hmm. So three illustrations, a horse's bit, mm-hmm. a ship's helm, yep. and a little fire.
Right.
And yet in all three situations, we see the power of the tongue. So a small bit controls a big horse, small helm controls a big ship. Small fire has the potential to become an enraging inferno, the tongue.
Right. Yeah. It should show us that we have great potential to do great harm to large amounts of people, even the strongest of people. And that if again, and then to borrow what he's saying in verse 3, if we can control this, It's a powerful illustration that these other things can be brought under control with something so small. So your body and yourself is one of the greatest indications of self-control in the entire New Testament is your ability to get control of the smallness of the tongue.
Even a fool, when he holdeth yeah. his peace, yeah. is counted wise.
Oh, yeah. Death and life are in the power of tongue. There's so many of those strong passages yeah. in Proverbs all throughout the Bible.
The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Mm. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Words will never hurt me, yeah, right. said nobody who understands the Bible.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, as a pastor, think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I can think that in times I've been spoken against or spoken negatively to, you know, Kurt, I've had those things replay in my mind in the night sometimes, like that powerful, man, they said that to me and I'll hear it. You know, sometimes you'll hear it over and over again. And boy, it really can discourage somebody. You got to be careful with saying something that would discourage. And you are in control of how you either build somebody up or tear somebody down completely just by something that you say.
Yeah. And when you say, when we use the word say or the tongue, hey friends, please understand that the application would be the way you wield your words. And we do that more than just verbally. We do that. I mean, come on. One of the primary ways by which we misuse our words in today's society is just through social media.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, that tweet that we shouldn't have sent, that passive aggressive post on Instagram or on Facebook. And so what we've done now is we've taken words that have the potential for so much harm, for so much conflagration, and we've given them a greater shelf life.
Yeah. Oh, it's awful. I mean, I think sometimes we don't realize you put it out there for a greater audience. And now you don't have to. And I think, you know, part of the problem that we face in our world today is we've eliminated healthy conversation because we air all of our problems and all of our discouragements out on social media without even going directly to the source and having what would be even potentially a healthy conversation that could actually bring healing. But man, when you just hurl out fireballs of bad, nasty, inflammatory, hurtful things.
Inflammatory. Think about that. Inflammatory, yeah. That which is incendiary. These are all words that refer to fire. Mm. And the Bible says it is set on fire of hell. In other words, the ultimate cause, the ultimate impetus behind slander and evil speaking and lying and corrupt communication and the misuse of the tongue is the devil himself.
That's exactly what he did. I mean, he's the accuser.
Father of lies.
He's the liar. He's the very one who even before the very throne of God with Job is trying to tear him down and bring division to the brethren.
And his very name means slanderer.
Slanderer.
That's the name. Set on fire of hell.
So that's just an awful place to be, right? I mean, if you're a slanderer, evil speaking, a liar, that's the source and that's your company.
I am most like the devil when I misuse my words. And the devil didn't misuse his words in this overt, like swearing, obnoxious. No, he was subtle. Mm. He was innuendo. He was passive aggressive. He was questioning. Yea, hath God said. Mm. And but I tell you what, we plant question marks about other people's character. We throw a little passive innuendo on social media. Man, it's just a reflection that we have a huge problem. Tomorrow's the answer. Next episode, okay? So I don't want to get too far ahead. Today, I'm just going to kind of leave us all like, man, I'm just not going to say a word all day long until tomorrow because I don't want to be like the devil. Can I just say this in closing, my friends? Why don't you do this? Why don't you just decide today, I'm gonna think of something really positive about somebody that I've not thought about for a while, and I'm going to reach out to them. Email, text, phone call, personal visit. Why don't you just say something good today to somebody? It'll be good for them. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for the cause of Christ. I appreciate you, my friends. Have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.